It was April 23rd, 1910, over 100 years ago, that Theodore Roosevelt gave one of the most epic and inspiring speeches in history. It's titled, The Man in the Arena. And here we are over 100 years later, and I believe it is more relevant to what we're going through today than even when he gave it in the culture back then. I want to read you a portion of this speech and just kind of show you where we even got the title for this series. Here's what Roosevelt wrote. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done it better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually, say it out loud with me, in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Come on, does that fire anybody else up? Like, anybody else think we need like a trumpet call like that for this generation when it comes to our faith? I mean, when Theodore Roosevelt wrote that, it wasn't directed at faith, but what it was directed at, it was directed at what he was so concerned at when he looked at his culture. You know what he saw? He saw a lack of action and a lack of responsibility. His greatest concern is he saw cynicism, entitlement, and apathy everywhere he looked. Now, I'm just going to shoot straight as your pastor. I see the same thing in so many Christians today. I think we have so many Christians today that have given their life to Jesus, and now they're sitting on the sidelines in their faith. They're not growing and they're not making a difference with their life. And so what I want to do over the next several weeks is I want to issue a strong challenge that it's time for us to get in the arena. And today, as we kick off this series, I want to challenge what I would call lukewarm Christianity. It's not just I would call that. I think Jesus is going to use those words. We'll see him in a minute. But let me just give you my definition of what I call lukewarm Christianity. And here it is. It's accepting just enough of Jesus to make us feel better, but not enough of Jesus that it changes our lives. It's just enough of Jesus. I feel really good, but not enough of Jesus that I'm going to reorder my whole entire life around my Savior and my God. Does that convict anybody else? I just want you to know, when I wrote that down, it convicts me. This is comfortable Christianity. And what convicts me, to be just transparent, is that I often choose, this is me, I often choose comfort over change, comfort over growth. And what bothers me about that is that when I look at my life, there's so much of my life I'm chasing comfort. And just be honest, like when I want to, stupid things, I want a comfortable chair at work. I want a comfortable bed to lay down on when I'm going to go to sleep. I want a comfortable couch to sit on and watch TV, my comfortable TV with any channel I can choose, you know, anything you want to watch. I want a comfortable pillow. I want comfortable shoes. Doggone it, that comfort mentality transfers over into my faith. I want a comfortable faith. The problem is when I search the New Testament and the words of Jesus, I cannot find one place that Jesus calls us to comfort. It's just not there. And that's not because Jesus is mad at us. It's because Jesus loves us. And here's what Jesus knows. If you're comfortable in your Christianity, you're not growing. Let me just give you an example from real life that all of us know, right? All of us will get this immediately. How many of you are in the gym? You should be in the gym, all right? Now, there's your call out. You should be in the gym. When you go to the gym, do you go to be comfortable? Come on. If you're comfortable in the gym, There's no growth. If you went to the gym and sat in a chair, you got jack. You're doing nothing, right? You go to the gym to get uncomfortable because you know it's in that uncomfort that your body can grow physically. That's just how it works. And the exact same principle exists in our spirituality. God has to get us to a place where he's going to push us and grow us. That's what's best for us. And we can make a difference with our life. But if you're a comfortable Christian, listen, you can't grow in your faith. Let me say it stronger. Comfortable Christianity is where faith goes to die. Aren't you glad you came to church this week and you're like, wow, so inspiring, you know? I just want you to know, I heard it one time, they said the job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And I'm just telling you, I came to afflict someone today, all right? If you're a comfortable Christian, I just came to afflict you today. In fact, say it out loud. Say, afflict me, pastor. All right, you asked for it, okay? All right, if you're online, just type in the chat, afflict me. You know, afflict me. You ask for it. I want to just issue a challenge. Guys, God's going to get someone's heart today. I just know it. I feel it. The title of today's message is this: No More Lukewarm Christianity. I am done. I'm done with that. I want more for my life. Come on. All right. Here's where we're going. We're going to turn to a passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 3, where this is Jesus speaking directly to us, the church. He's speaking to a church called Laodicea, but it is directed just as much to us as it is to the church in Laodicea. And I want to read you, here's a part of what Jesus says to this church. He says this. He says, I know your deeds. I've been watching your life. And that you're neither hot, cold nor hot. I mean, I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Woo! Then he goes on, next verse. He says, you say, well, I'm what are you talking about? I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing, Jesus. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You don't think you need me? Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What does Jesus say a lukewarm faith does to him? What do you say? Makes him want to spit up. Jesus isn't playing. You know what I'm saying? He's not playing. In fact, the Greek word for spit out is a very specific Greek word. It's the word emeo. It's the only time in the entire New Testament this word is used, and it literally means to vomit. When I was a new dad, our very first daughter was born, Carly. I love my daughter so much, and I remember just trying to play with them as much as I could. And I remember taking Carly, I would lay on my back, and I would grab her, and I would just throw her up in the air like this, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you're my girl, I love you. My mouth's open. So, you know, it's like I'm throwing her up, and you can tell where this is going, you know what I'm saying? This is like a rookie dad move, you know? And it's like I'm throwing her up in the air, and I'll never forget, there was one time she vomited straight in my mouth, like spit. It went straight down my mouth, which made me want to, you know what I mean? That's what Jesus says a lukewarm faith does. He can't stomach it. Now, you're like, Jesus is coming pretty intense here. But I want to show you the context of this verse in Revelation chapter 3, because when you understand the context, you're going to understand Jesus' spiritual intensity. Remember, when you're reading scripture, you never want to take a verse out of context. That's how you'll mess yourself up. You always want to read the verse in the context in which it was written. So let me help explain the context of this verse. This was written to a church in Laodicea. Let me tell you about Laodicea. Laodicea was in Asia Minor. It's modern-day Turkey. You can still visit the city to this day. You can see the ruins of the city. But what was happening in Laodicea is one of the richest cities in the entire Roman Empire. There was a banking center there where a lot of senators would invest their money. It was extremely wealthy. They also had a medical school there, which meant they had some of the best doctors in the Roman Empire. They had a Mayo Clinic. I mean, it was like top-notch, you know what I'm saying? But then the other thing they had is they had this clothing and textile industry where it was the best in like the Roman Empire. People wearing Gucci, Louis Vuitton. They had a Scottsdale Fashion Square right in the middle of the city, you know what I'm saying? And what happened in Laodicea is all this caused them to become comfortable, complacent, and self-sufficient, where they began to think, I don't think I even need God in the church. But when Jesus said to them, you're lukewarm, that word would have pierced their hearts. It would have hit them like a ton of bricks, and here's why. With all they had in the city, they had everything they wanted. They were missing one thing. They didn't have a good, clean water supply in their city. It didn't exist. So let me show you what Laodicea had to do. They had to pipe in water from two different places. Let me show it to you on a map. There's Laodicea, Asia Minor. Hierapolis was to the north. This is where they had these amazing hot springs. And the hot springs had these mineral deposits that were very healing. People used them for healing all the time. There was amazing hot water. So they piped hot water 6 miles away from Hierapolis. But then to get cold water, because you can't just need hot water, you need cold water, like we need the same thing, they would pipe cold water from a city called Colossae, which was about 10 miles to the south, and it was in the mountains. Like imagine these beautiful snowy mountains. You can still see them to this day. And they piped this refreshing, amazing cold water from Colossae. You know, sometimes when you buy bottled water and it says like straight from the Rockies, you know what I mean? They would have been like straight from Colossae. It was like wonderful, it's beautiful. So that's what they did. Now, hot water, cold water coming from different locations into the city. When I used to read this verse that Jesus said, I want you to be either hot or cold, I used to think Jesus meant like be all in or just go all out. Now, Jesus could have meant that, but I think when you understand this context, I think what Jesus may have meant more was, hey, I just want you to have a mission and purpose behind your life. Because remember, hot water and cold water are both useful. And especially in the church in Laodicea, cold water is refreshing and hot water is healing. I think Jesus was saying, are you on mission? Like, do you have a purpose? Are you connected to me? Are you connected enough that you're experiencing refreshing and healing, not only in your life, but impacting the lives of people around you? And the thing about the Laodiceans is, man, here was their biggest problem. And they didn't realize it, I think, when they started piping this. They had to pipe this water from so far away. Let me show you what they had to do. They had to build these aqueducts. This is literally one of the aqueducts they built to run water from Hierapolis and Colossae to the city. Look at the distance they had to run this, miles and miles. Here's the problem. Watch this. Let's go back to the map. When they ran the hot water to Laodicea, by the time it arrived in Laodicea, it wasn't hot anymore. It was lukewarm. It lost all of its value and properties. And with the cold water, by the time the cold water, over 10 miles through these pipes, reached Laodicea, it wasn't cold anymore. It's tepid, and it's contaminated from the pipes. So the Laodiceans, every time they got their water, it was lukewarm, and they hated it. They wanted to spit it out of their mouth. So Jesus said, you know that, what you hate? That's how I feel, man, about a faith that's lukewarm. Point number one, if you're taking notes, a lukewarm faith is nauseating to God. Now look at me. I want every person to look at me for just a minute, because I know some of you are feeling a little guilty right now. You're dealing with some stuff in life. You're like, man, I may be a little lukewarm. Like you're feeling like the heat right now. I just want you to look at me right now. You are not nauseating to God. Look at me. God loves you. On your worst day, your most sinful day that you walked in even today, God loves you unconditionally. He is so glad you're here. You're not nauseating to God, but the way you're living your faith may be. You got to separate those two things. Can I just give you an example that you may help all of us today? How many... How many coffee addicts do I have out there? Any coffee addicts out there? Just don't be shy. I'm raising my hand. I am a coffee addict, all right? I literally, you just need to know this, Jamie and I both are. I have a coffee maker in my office. I drink coffee almost all day long. This is my confession before you today, all right? Coffee all day long. How many of you that are coffee addicts, you at least have a cup of coffee every day. How many hot coffee drinkers do we have out there? You like hot coffee, like you want it hot. This is me. I drink hot coffee almost all the time. Every once in a while I have like a cold like iced coffee drink, but I'm pretty much hot all the time. How many of you are like, no, man, I love the iced coffee drinks. How many, like just raise your hand, iced coffee drinks out there? All right, I see you, sir. You like the girly Frappuccinos? That's cool, all right. That's all right, that's cool. When you show up to Starbucks, there are two types of coffee. Hot drinks, cold drinks. Have you ever in your life showed up to a coffee shop and it's like, there's the lukewarm drinks right here. Why? That's disgusting. Nobody wants a lukewarm cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like if you like cold coffee, if they delivered your cold coffee to you and it's lukewarm, you're like throwing it back in their face going, put some ice in this, bro. What are you doing? And if you like hot coffee like I do, when my hot coffee gets lukewarm, I pour it out. It's gross. In fact, if you here today, if you like lukewarm coffee, our prayer teams want to pray the demons out of you today. Like just grab any one of our, we want to pray it out, right? You know what we do? Think about this. We have certain mugs. We have very certain mugs that we spend a lot of money on. We either keep our hot drinks hot. I have an Ember thing that someone gave me that it keeps it hot all the time. That's how much we love the hot coffee. Or if you're cold coffee, you buy like a really expensive cup mug that keeps it cold. Nobody wants lukewarm. And God says that's the same thing with your faith. Be on mission, have a purpose, stay connected to me, but this lukewarm business, I can't do it. Now, what leads to a lukewarm faith? Well, let's go back to Laodicea. Let's look at the context of Laodicea. What caused their water to become lukewarm? Let's show the picture again. It's the distance. Listen to me. Anytime you create distance between you and God and His church, it leads to a lukewarm faith. And the more distance, the more lukewarm you are. Here's an observation. This is a big point for someone here today. A lukewarm faith is driven by distance from the church that leads to a decline in your soul. It's the distance. Now, the source of our faith is Jesus and Jesus alone. But when Jesus died and rose again and left this earth, He left us His Holy Spirit, which we receive when we decide to follow Him and get baptized. He left us His Word to guide us. But what is the one experience? What is the one place? What is the one gathering Jesus gave us? It's the only gathering He gave us where we can experience His Spirit, His Word, and grow in our faith. What is the one thing He left us? The church. The local church. In fact, it matters so much to Jesus that in Ephesians chapter 5, He calls the church His bride. Think about that. If you came to me today and said, Ashley, I love you, and I was like, I love you, and you're like, I would love to get closer to you. I'm like, man, let's do it. This is awesome. Like, I want to do this. If you said that, but then you said this, but one caveat. I don't really like your bride. In fact, I would rather her not be around much. If we cannot experience her, but you and I can experience each other, can we do that? Here's what I would tell you. You and I will never be close. Jamie and I are a package deal. Jesus and His church are a package deal. You cannot, as a follower of Jesus, say, I love Jesus, but I don't really want to be around the church or experience the church that much. It doesn't work. And I think we live in a world today that breaks the heart of God. Because we have so many Christians that say, I love Jesus, but I want really not a whole lot to do with the church. In fact, I've been hurt by the church. And if you've been hurt by the church, man, I know so many people have been hurt by the church. Listen, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But if you are hurt by the church, you are hurt by a flawed individual, not the church as a whole. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't walk away from the church. It's impossible to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus and not be connected to the church. It doesn't work. In fact, worse to me than the church hurt is just people that say, I don't have time. I'm kind of busy. I come when I can. I like watching online in my PJs. It's kind of cool, you know? I'm just calling it out today. I'm calling it like I see it, that we have a generation of lukewarm Christians that are, and the reason they're lukewarm is because they're disconnected from the church, the bride of Christ. Let me just give you the stats. In America today, the average Christian attends church 1.6 times a month. Out of 52 weeks, that is 37% of the time. Now, I want you to think back on the last 3 months of your life. What percentage would you be connected and here on the weekends in your local church? You tell me one thing you can do at 37% that you love, that matters to you, that you do at 37%, and you're still, it's good, and you're still growing. Like, if you love your kids, if you send your kids to school 37% of the time, are they going to grow? I'll tell you what they'll grow in. They'll grow in the probability they're going to live with you for the rest of your life. That's what they're going to grow in, you know what I mean? If you went to work 37% of the time, are you getting promoted? Are you growing? You're getting fired. If you brush your teeth 37% of the time, I just want to pray for your spouse. I want to pray for your dentist. Like, you got a mess going on up there, you know what I mean? If you eat a taco 30% of the way, are you even saved? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about? 37%. Some of you are like, well, I'm at 50%. I'm at 60%. That's still lukewarm. Do you understand? Like, we got a generation that we got to wake up, and a distance from the church leads to a decline in the soul. God did not create you to be disconnected. And my greatest concern as a pastor, and this happened even more so over COVID, I love what we get to do with online, our online experience, but so many people are substituting being online versus being with the body present in person. Now listen, if you're traveling and you're online right now, I'm so glad that's amazing. If you have a sick child, that's great. If you live in a part of our world that there's not a church, I am so glad. In fact, we have, right now, watching online, we have some of our armed forces, our military, watching online. Can we give it up for them right now? Like, we love you. Come on, give it up big for them. We just so respect our armed forces. So those are good reasons. If your reason is just like, it's convenient and comfortable for me to stay home by myself, horrible reason, because life is going to happen to you where if you're not here, you're going to be lukewarm. And that was the case with the couple from our Midtown campus. I want you to watch Jaron and Brianna's story.
We started to attend online, but kind of fell through. Being online was a bit tough to do consistently.
But ultimately, I feel like our relationship, it kind of took a dive at that point. Like, we were both in really unhealthy seasons, and I don't think we were really consistent, like, during COVID to watch online. You know, it was whenever we felt like we had time. You know, we kind of made excuses for it to do other things, even though we really had nothing else to do.
The environment, the actual music itself, it just didn't really resonate the same as it felt like when we were going initially.
Yeah.
So with COVID kind of on the back burner at this point, we were encouraged plenty of times by other individuals like Mike to get back into service in person. It took a little bit to actually get us to go. Again, right, it really falling out of the motion of it, even as close as it was living here in the Midtown area. It was a little bit of a struggle, but once we finally started to get back into it, we really did get that sense of community. It was great to see the individuals that we, you know, left off initially with before COVID back again. Getting into serving some more, that was always a great thing as well. Getting into greeting, we went from greeting to the cafe. at this point we weren't married yet, so we were technically living in sin at this point.
I wanted to do kids, and he wanted to be in STARS. Mm-hmm. And of course it made sense, like, we were living in sin, could not be a part of that, cannot be a part of it with kids. But Mike, again, you know, pushed Jaren.
At the end of 2020, I ended up proposing to Brianna and asking her to, you know, marry me. My father had passed away late 2021. Really just went through some of those struggles as well, you know, navigating what that was like, going back home, dealing with the issues that it caused with my family. We really just needed something bigger to focus on, and it was really getting closer to God. Mm-hmm. And that really helped us to get back into, again, church. And it felt more realistic in this case, being in person. Once we finally got married and were, like, fully feeling incorporated into the church, we had the different serving areas. We were doing double ministry in this case, and then again, two small groups, and we finally landed in our current small group, which is, again, just great and helping us to support us and everything that we've been going through.
And when we're going through those storms, I think it's so great that you have a community that you can, you know, be a part of. Like, we have people reaching out all the time.
And I think the biggest thing that we have in front of us right now in terms of a store is kind of having Millie, our new one on the way.
Our new addition. So essentially at 9 weeks, we found out through some genetic testing that there is probably about an 80% chance that she could have Down syndrome. And so for any new parent, that's not something that you want to, like, hear.
We were a little scared. This is our first child. We didn't know how to maintain that information and make the right decisions at that point. So we kind of entered a dark place in that season. And it really helped to have this community, CCV, around us, not just our small groups, but our serving areas and the church as a whole to really just back us up.
Definitely still emotional, but I don't know how we would have been able to get through this season of our life without having that community, because I barely can keep my head above water, and my community and our community at church helps us be at the top of that water.
The decisions we make every single instance, like I said, throughout the week, we have our friends, our family that attend, just in general. And again, we always have a reason to say, hey, God, we see you, and we know that you see us.
I love them sharing. I want you to know, no matter who you are, you belong here. You belong at this church no matter what you're going through. But what strikes me about that story, what hits me hard, is I think what hangs in the balance of this couple, if they didn't get back into the community of the church and become consistent with all that they're going through. What leads to a lukewarm faith where we start to get some distance from God? Point number three, a lukewarm faith is rooted in quote-unquote self-sufficiency. It is our thinking, we're okay without God and the church. Watch the church in Laodicea. It says, Jesus, remember, he says, you become lukewarm, want to spit you out. Watch what he says right after this. This is the root of it. Verse 17, you say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I have possessions, I don't need a thing. In other words, their city offered them everything they needed with all the options they had, and they're like, we're not even sure we need God in the church anymore. Could you imagine living in a city like that, where, like, you had that much opportunity, that many things? I mean, could you imagine, like, just make it up. Imagine living in a city where at the click of a button, Amazon would deliver anything to your doorstep you needed tomorrow. Imagine a city where everyone ate three meals a day almost, and, man, if you didn't want to cook, man, you can go to a restaurant, or they'll deliver it to your doorstep through Uber Eats. Imagine a city where everyone had a mini computer they walked around with all day long called an iPhone, that they could order anything they wanted. In fact, they could be entertained all day long and distracted from God's purpose for their life. Imagine a city like that. Imagine a city that was so rich, and this is kind of crazy to think about, that they didn't just have a house. They built a house onto their house for their cars. Could you imagine being that rich? Like, that is, you're loaded. You may not want to hear this, but the reality is, if you live in America, you are richer than 95% of the world today. And it's in our wealth and our options and our opportunities and our distractions that we become self-sufficient and think, maybe we don't need God. I'm not even sure I need the church. I'll go to church every once in a while when I feel like it. I'll have just enough of Jesus to make me feel good, but not enough Jesus that I reorder and change my entire life. So here's what Jesus says next to them and us. He says, but you don't realize. Everybody say, I may not realize. Say it louder. Say, I may not realize. You may not realize how lukewarm you are. You ever walked out of your house before and you're like going throughout almost your whole day and you realize your zipper's been down? You didn't realize it. In fact, there was a time years ago that I was preaching a message on stage, and I was like, God's moving. People are turning to Jesus. It wasn't until the end of the message I realized I preached the whole entire message with my zipper down. It's like, no wonder people turn to Jesus. They got to wipe their eyes clean from what they just saw. It's like, that's what's happening. You may not realize how far you've fallen. Jesus says, you may not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That's what you're like when you're disconnected from me. And you may not realize it until you do. Until you get the divorce papers. Until you get the breakup text. Until you get that medical report. Until you find out your child has been harming themselves. Until you realize that your mental health is not getting better as much as you try. Or the opposite's true, right? It may not be the valley. It may be the mountaintop that you realize that you're lukewarm. You may have everything you want right now. You have the job you dreamed of. You have the income you never thought you'd have. You just sold the business. You're set. You just got the blue check mark. Woo! You get more likes than ever. You have the life you've never dreamed of. And then you wake up and you realize, I'm empty. You may not realize how much you need Jesus. You better wake up. Lukewarm Christianity is what? Accepting just enough of Jesus. That I feel pretty good, but not enough of Jesus. That I'm going to change my whole entire life to be centered on Him and His church and what He wants for me. If you feel convicted, listen, I know I do too. We got to wake up, church. We got to wake up. What do we need to do? We need to remember, number one, that a lukewarm faith is nauseating to God. And two, a lukewarm faith is driven. It's driven by the distance that not God created. God is never distant from you. It's our distance that we create from the body, the church, where we can be fed and grow, that leads to a decline in our soul. And a lukewarm faith, how does that happen? Happens when we become self-sufficient. So I want you to ask yourself today, where have I become lukewarm? And you just ask God, let Him answer for you. But I want to give one specific challenge because I feel called by God for our church to give a very specific challenge. In fact, it's not just me. I'm told to do this by the writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10 says this, spur one another on. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago, a spur, like with like on a horse, a spur is designed to make you just uncomfortable enough that you start moving. So I'm here to spur somebody on. I'm here to wake you up. I'm here to warm you up in your faith towards love and good deeds. How do we do that? Watch this. By not giving up meeting together. Some of you have given up the regular gathering in the church, being here consistent. Why? Because we know that because some of you are in the habit of doing. You're like, how did God know? He knows our hearts. He knows we get self-sufficient. So he says, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. What is he talking about with the day approaching? The day approaching is the end of Revelation. When Jesus comes back and there are no more days. Guys, life is short. You don't know when your name or your number is going to be called. And we cannot live a life lukewarm for Jesus. It doesn't work. So what I know is the beginning of August right now is the time when everybody comes back to church after kind of being gone a little bit over the summer. Like vacations, you're gone. Everyone's back to church. It's like a high attendance point for us in August. You know what happens the rest of the fall? It starts to dwindle. You want to know why? Because your kids get busy in school. Sports start to pick up. Your work gets busy. The NFL starts. Come on, I'm talking to somebody out there right now. You want to win your fantasy football league? I'll just miss church this weekend. I'll stay home for NFL. You know what God wants to tell you NFL stands for you? Not for long, buddy. You keep staying home. You know what I'm saying? Like God wants to wake somebody up. You're going to prioritize a football game over your Savior? Does anybody else does that bother anybody else? We got to wake up. So God's here to Say, no more lukewarm faith. Not for you, not for your family, not for your marriage, not for your relationships. Consistency in church is where God can heat up a lukewarm faith. Because all in Christians do consistently what lukewarm Christians do occasionally. And when I say consistently, I don't mean 37% of the time, 50% of the time, 70% of the time. I mean like you are like, when I'm in town, I will be here 100% of the time. Let me tell you why I need that. I'm not even talking to you right now. I'm going to tell you why I need that. When I'm preaching, I'm here worshiping with you. I am here in church. When I'm not preaching, I am sitting where you're sitting, worshiping and listening to whoever's teaching. Let me tell you why I need it. Because when I'm in church, I get God's word, and it speaks directly to me. It's like God knows exactly what I need to hear when I show up. He just gets up in my business. I need to worship God and be reminded that I can't worship myself and my desires. I need peace when my world feels out of control. I need strength when I feel weak. I need hope when I'm broken, faith when I have doubts, joy when my circumstances aren't joyful. I need to be reminded of God's love no matter my sin. I need to find purpose, and then it comes from living for God. I need to serve and use my gifts. I need a community of other people that can sharpen me, and I need to be challenged. I need a challenge. So I'm going to leave you with two of those today. You ready? We've already been in God's word, several of them. I want to leave you with love and a challenge. This isn't me. This is God speaking to you. When Jesus said, you got a lukewarm faith, I'm about ready to spit you out. You're like, that feels like Jesus is coming at me hard. He's coming at you because he loves you. Remember what verse 19 said? Watch this. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. It's because he loves you, he wants to wake you up. So he says, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And God is knocking on someone's heart right now and saying, it is time to drive a stake in the ground. You're back in the arena. No more lukewarm faith. Are you in on that? Is anybody else in on no more lukewarm faith? Come on. If you are, if you want to make that commitment today, like this is a, I challenge you to do this. Take the month of August and September, 60 days, to create a new habit of consistency. And you say, I will be here every week and I'm in town. No excuses. And if that's you, I want to pray for you right now. God, this world needs Jesus. How, God, how are they ever going to see him when we're sitting around lukewarm? There's no purpose and mission in that. For the person today that needs to be heated up, for the person that needs to draw close to you, God, help them make a commitment today that would change their life, that they're done being lukewarm. They want to live for you. Help them surround themselves with good people that can help with that commitment and know that CCV is a place where they can grow in their faith. We love you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.